Welcome to TechWrap, the podcast for another week. We're online at techwrap.net. You can find us on Omni. You can find us on player.fm. And we're also on Twitter. Follow us today. TechWrap, the podcast. Hello, Will.
Hey, Trent, how are you? Follow us today because tomorrow we're shutting down our Twitter account. Never to be tweeted again.
You are talking absolute rubbish.
Yeah, it'll be around probably till the end of time or till Twitter shut down its servers.
Look, we don't tweet very often.
But why not? Why don't we tweet?
I don't know. It's just...
We will.
I just haven't
From this day forth, I pledge we will tweet every day.
I just haven't been very good at the social media thing. So, you know, managing those sort of things, you know.
That's okay. I'll take over the Twitter account.
Well, you can do that if you like. If you're better than me, well, that's
I'm not
fine.
Saying I'm better,
that's
but
fine.
let's expect many, many tweets to come. Today I had muesli for breakfast.
Did you?
Is that something?
Did you have muesli?
No, I didn't, but I was just thinking like something people would like to hear.
I was dreaming of porridge, but I never have enough time for breakfast.
I'm a muesli kind of guy.
You're a muesli kind of guy. I'm a porridge kind of guy, but I was never a porridge kind of guy. But yeah, I just never seem to have time to have breakfast because I'm one of those fellas who likes waking up at 7:30 and being out the door by 8.
Wait a minute. Porridge isn't tech.
No, porridge isn't
tech. We should talk about tech.
Let's get into tech.
There's been a lot
of tech happening. Some, you know, innovative stuff that has been going on. One of the most interesting things in the last couple of weeks, aside from Black Friday sales US.
It's quite huge. We really don't have an equivalent.
We don't have an equivalent, but they do extend it to online facets, so some of us can get involved in the bargains. But one of the great things I've seen is Ford. With their Ford Driving Skills for Life campaign. It's offered around the world, and they offered it in Melbourne not too long ago. And hopefully they bring this innovation.
One of the most livable cities in the world.
Yeah. Well, it's debatable. but hopefully they bring this to their Ford Driving Skills for Life program. They've created a drunk driving simulator, and it's basically to show motorists the effects of driving under the influence of illegal substances or even alcohol. Now, it's a combination of various things that you strap onto your body. So it's like weights. It's like there's gloves that make sensations in your hands. So your body reacts differently.
Oh, really? So it's like a full body experience.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
There's goggles. So it makes impaired vision.
I'm surprised it's not like a VR experience.
And not quite VR. Mm. But with all the combination of things on, in the demonstration video that I saw, even an experienced driver, like a driving instructor driver, had difficulties handling his vehicle on the test circuit.
Wow.
And he said, you know, this...
I could do it. This, I reckon I could do it.
This is something which is going to be good to point out to people what sort of, you know, effects a hat on your body when you do take these substances and you get behind the wheel. Getting behind the wheel is wrong. When you do take these substances.
Yeah, don't do it. That's cool. I would have liked to have a go at that, I think. It would have been a bit of fun, I reckon.
I would be keen for it. I'm hoping it does come to Australia because they do the program in Australia and quite a few other countries.
Is that just, it was just a promotion thing. It's not on anymore.
No. It's not a promotion. It's in their Ford Driving Skills for Life campaign, which they do around the world.
Mm. So they're taking it around now?
Yeah. It's like a driver training program, which they are taking around the world progressively. So
only to like the major capital cities and stuff?
Yeah, I think it'll be the major capital cities. But even if it is just coming to the country, it'd be great to see this thing, you know, some young people influence.
But do you
really think
in this day and age that young people are going to jump in this and actually link it up to really driving? I think that, like, we're so involved in, like, the gaming culture now and, like, you know, like movies and TV and gaming and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, even me, I see this and I'm like, that's a cool challenge. Let's give it a go. But I don't think I'd necessarily link that to, or it would prevent me from, if I was the type of person that would drink and drive, would, after experiencing it, would make me not want to, because it's still like a game. You're playing and it's like, this is just a game. It has no consequences. So it's not that impactful. So, like, it's a really cool idea, but, like, I don't know. I'm a bit pessimistic, I think, about it actually making a difference.
It may have a 50-50 impact.
I like it. I like the idea as like a game. I'm like, oh, that's cool to like tingle my hands and stuff. And I'll be like racing around the track and like I can race my buddy drunk and let's see who can complete a lap the quickest, you know.
You see, I do see the advantages in the experience being a country boy. You know, I've been able to get behind the wheel after I've been pretty drunk.
I wonder what the tracks are like, because out in here in the country, it's just like a long straight road of nothing. So I wonder if the one in the simulator is just driving just a straight road for 20 minutes or an hour and a half.
No, it's like test circuits, you know.
Yeah, so you're actually turning.
You're actually doing turning and all that sort of thing. But just coming from the point of view of being a country boy, I have been able to get drunk.
Good with a nail and hammer.
Get behind the wheel in an old wagon and go around the paddock, and I've realized how stupid it was doing that.
After you hit your family dog and killed it. And you were absolutely devastated.
You are a sad
I don't know. I just, these pictures just start painting in my head as you say.
No. Just experiencing the feeling of not being able to control the vehicle as well as I usually would have. That was a concern. So I thought,
you're optimistic if this program might actually help some people.
It may actually impact people, which is what we would really love to see.
Well, at the very least, it's creating awareness, right? For drink and drug, because I mean, we're talking about it, so that's doing a good job.
It's definitely creating an awareness campaign around the world, which is a great thing to see.
Good on you, Ford.
So, Ford, I
look forward to the VR version in coming years.
Hopefully we do see it.
The full immersive experience.
Now, you're a person that has been born in the last...
before we move on to, I don't know what you were going to go to, but you were talking about Black Friday earlier. Let's jump into what I saw.
You want to move on to Black Friday now?
Well, you mentioned it at kind of the start. So before we forget about it completely, I think we're slowly starting to adopt that here in Australia. Like, we start to see like very much the online sales and stuff, because they are worldwide and we get a lot of stuff from US, but more in stores, I think it's starting to slowly grow. And it's much like Halloween as well. We're kind of like slowly, that's becoming with every year that passes, Halloween just gets more and more popular. Where, you know, you think 10 years ago and no one was really celebrating Halloween as big as in America. We're still not, but we're slowly growing.
The only difference in Black Friday to Australia is the fact that, you know, Black Friday is in their Thanksgiving weekend.
We don't really have a holiday, do we?
It's in a public holiday period. Our closest public holiday period in terms of, retail stores is your Boxing Day sales.
Yeah, Christmas.
You look at how the major cities react when it comes to a Boxing Day sale, and
it's just crazy.
It's just as mental as Black Friday.
So, but wouldn't they have it like a Christmas sale as well to Black Friday?
I've never actually paid that much attention. Yeah. I would assume so, but we don't have a major celebration like they do. You know, our major celebrations, they do Thanksgiving Day, we do Australia Day, and all we do is hit the booze. We don't worry about sales.
Yeah, you think find the nearest lake and just have some beers.
Yeah, and like we do in the areas where we've got rivers in our particular region, we go for a float and we take the esky along as well. Whether it's good or not to do it.
Lots of good tech deals to be found on Black Friday. And because it's very much like an online thing, we're very fortunate to get it here as well. But a cool one that I saw, I'm a big fan of Cards Against Humanity. I'm an avid player. I have a deck. I have an expansion pack. I bring it out every chance I get.
I haven't played it. How come you haven't brought it?
So they did a very... Well, I'll bring it in next time. We can play live on air.
I'd love to.
So on their Black Friday special was... Mm. You give us $5 for Black Friday, and we'll give you nothing. Pretty good deal. I gave him $5.
You don't mention the fact that they're usually a donator to charities.
I don't think they had any. Did they donate? Because when I saw it, they didn't really have anything more.
No, they didn't. But what I'm saying is they've previously been proud to be donating to charities.
Okay. But it was essentially like, hey, this is our Black Friday deal.
Give us $5.
Give us $5 and you'll get nothing in return. And there's like a checkbox you have to tick that says, I agree that I'm not receiving anything in return to this $5. And they made like a ridiculous amount of money. I think it was like close to, do you have the figure? It was like I would say 17,000 or something.
17,000?
I don't know. Like, it was like at least like thousands and thousands of dollars, people, whether or not they thought they were
actually
getting cards. Here we go. We got the exact
71,145.
I knew there was a seven in it. That's ridiculous, though. $70,000 just for nothing, just as a joke. They've always done like these little jokey things, and they try to be a bit like different, I guess, and like maybe ironical, playing on the fact that, you know, the hype of the Black Friday sales, and people agree with them. But it's, come on, at the very essence, absolutely ridiculous.
It's absolutely ridiculous, but you know why it's been a winner. The fact that they have donated more than $4 million over a few years to charities. So people would have been thinking.
Yeah, I guess.
People would have been thinking that they were going to do something nice with it, but then they put up a list of things that they were hoping to get out of it, and it was basically, you know, the people that were involved in it wanting to take holidays to Disneyland, piano lessons. There was a personal pleasure massager in the deal as well.
What does that mean?
Well, you only have to dot the I's and cross the T's and work that one out.
Like a wireless
Surely.
Network connection. Is that what you think?
For your private bits.
Goodness.
it blows you down how, you know, how stupid it can be to be contributing your $5 towards this company.
I don't know. Maybe some people agree with the message and that they're supporting the silliness of Black Friday, but I didn't give them $5.
I was ready to take advantage.
I need that $5.
I was ready to take advantage of several of the Black Friday sales. I'm a bit of an audio production man.
Yeah, any good tech deals that you come across?
So Waves, who is an organisation which makes plugins for Pro Tools, they were cutting their prices by about 70% or 80%.
Yeah, wow.
So you were getting a full plug-in pack for like $200, which
and they're normally very expensive.
$500-$600 at least. So deals like that. I also do some website development. We're talking about WordPress, the blogging system.
Yeah, nice.
There was websites that were offering packages for themes and whatnot and plugins. And they were taking at least 50% off their deals. Things like that, you know. They're deals that could be had
by
anyone around the world.
That's the beauty of it,
even
too,
though it's Black Friday.
More and more online, getting away from just those retail stores.
Definitely, definitely. Now,
Can't wait till next year.
Well, you'll get a chance then.
Christmas
definitely.
Bargains come around the corner. I'll have to keep an eye out for some tech deals.
Now, both you and I have been born in the last, 30 years. Safe to say. We're people who are pretty savvy with our technology. You know,
least we like to think so.
We like to think so. We've grown up in front of computers.
Yes.
We've got mobile phones that are, more efficient than some of the earlier computers we've owned.
Yeah, by far.
Some of us have got tablets and other portable computing devices.
We're connected.
We're well connected. And we like to think we're really good at our connection as
the
well.
The best.
We like to think.
If you need any advice,
yes,
tweet us.
And that's our downfall.
No.
It is.
We're being too cocky.
No, serious.
We think we're better than we are.
Okay. We are too cocky.
All right.
Because
Why? Recent
surveys have said that cybercrime victims of our age lose an average of $358 and 21 hours fixing problems related to cybercrime. And this is cybercrime. Anything from having our email address hacked, our social media accounts
never
hacked.
Never happened to me.
To credit card information
I'm
online.
I'm too smart for that.
That's exactly what it is. Look, it was quite a surprise to me because I know of all the scams that are around that have sucked people in who are older than me in the past. And I thought, well, you know, I am not going to be a victim of cybercrime because I'm well-versed with everything.
Yes.
But I get a little bit complacent, and that's where it is, complacency.
All it takes is for a company that you've given a lot of your information over to get into a bit of trouble with being hacked, right? And so say like Sony, remember they hacked into the PlayStation network and stuff. So if you had substantial, like even like you had your credit card numbers in there, or maybe not just PlayStation, but other places that have got breached. But is that necessarily your fault though? If like you just give all your information to another company, then they get breached, and then you get they steal your credit card number, and then you get it wasn't actually your fault.
Yeah, well, it's not necessarily all your fault.
Is that survey more directly about individuals being targeted, or was it kind of broader, like have you ever been a victim of?
It's more of a broad thing.
Mm. But that's crazy to think, isn't it? Like, I mean, yeah, I guess it's, I don't know what to say. It's just like the day and age we live in now. That's kind of like the way to get
I might stuff done. Share a recent incident that's happened with me. And this is an example This is an example of it can happen to anyone and you've got no control over it. So I help out with the community organisation. Mm-hmm. I've got a position in the community organisation. So with that, I have a status. And so I have access to station funds. Mm-hmm. I have a debit card, which I can go out and if I need to purchase supplies to repair things, I can go and use it.
Mm-hmm.
So the only situations I've used it in so far in the month or two I've had it is, a local electronics shop, which I've used my own card many times at and had no dramas. I used it for an online secure payment gateway, which I am well acquainted with and I have used in the past with my services as well. And I've had no issues at all. And also a large hardware retailer in Australia, Bunnings. Okay. And they're all reputable places.
Yes. Nothing could go wrong there that I see.
So I get a text
You're
message.
You're safe as sound. Don't worry.
I get a text message to say, it looks like your account has had some suspicious activity. Please give us a call. So I ring them up.
Was it you?
And they go, we've had a couple of websites and small figure amounts, but then they've tried to hit it with 200 and 500.
Oh, wow.
And they read the websites out to me and I said, I've never heard of these websites before. These are the websites I've used.
Here we go.
And they've got
I thought you were going to tell us what they were. Or are they too explicit?
No. I've just mentioned that they're websites. So a website hosting company I spent some money with, JCar, Bunnings, and then I think the ShareIt service, which is a payment gateway. And they were not related at all to these other websites. I can't remember what the websites were because the guy told me on the phone.
It's a heap of random
ones. And I just went, these are random. I've never heard of these ones before.
Yeah, wow.
And so he said, well, you know, if you haven't used them on anywhere you think has caused suspicious activity, I'd say what it is. Someone has used a credit card generator. So they've generated a random number combination. Being able to figure out an expiry date on that combination.
No way.
And then they've just tried the card to see whether it would work. And when it was successful, they've gone, all right, that one works. We'll hit it up.
That's crazy.
But little did they know it was a debit card and it had about a limit of $200. And for the most part, the $200 was gone. So they were able to get a couple of dollar amounts, but that was it. So they've cancelled the card, reissued another card. And they've had to deal with another fraud case.
That's crazy.
So it can happen to anyone, even though we talk about this story of people of our age, you know, really knowing their tech, getting complacent, and then having things happen.
Well, I was reading a device called MagSpoof, okay? And
what is it?
Basically, it's a $10 tool that can steal your next credit card number by predicting based on your previous what your next one will be, because they use like kind of this, I think it was the American Express cards.
Yeah.
And they can predict what the next generated number will be quicker than they can actually generate them. So just by using this tool that this guy constructed for $10, you can look it up, MagSpoof. He was able to predict upcoming credit card numbers and conduct the very thing
that
you're talking
mad.
About. Insane.
And that's probably what has happened to this particular card. But rest assured, the bank saw it. As soon as they saw some suspicious activity, they literally stopped transactions on the card until I phoned up to find out what was going on. The text message essentially says, "Hi there. We've noticed some suspicious activity on your NAB business visa, and we're worried it wasn't you. As a precaution, we've placed a temporary block on the card. Please call us on our 24-hour hotline, option one. Thanks. So they've picked it up before I have even noticed something has happened. And in this particular case, I don't have access at all to any activity statements on this card. The only time I see what's going on with the card is when the statement appears in the mail, because I'm allowed to open the mail. And that's it. I don't have internet banking. I can't check that process.
So I'm just like quickly had a look at it, and it's basically it's a $10 device that can store more than 100 credit card numbers and emits an electromagnetic field that's strong enough to hit credit card readers' sensors from a close proximity, sending a signal that imitates a credit card being swiped. And it also includes a button that implements his prediction algorithm to find newly activated credit cards.
That's incredible technology. I didn't have my mic on, by the way.
That's all right. The only thing, so it can detect the numbers and the swipe and the sensor and all that, but it can't, like, the CVV number on the back.
CCV.
Obviously, because that's just written. Yeah. So you would need to sort of acquire that. But in terms of getting the credit card number and everything else, quite effective. But yeah, look into it more if you're curious about
it. The problem we've got with some systems still, though, some systems don't require the CCV.
Yeah, true. Exactly right.
So if you've got a portable credit card machine, you can punch the number in, punch the amount in, and then say that you've got the person's authority and get straight through. Although here in Australia now, we have the requirement to enter PIN codes. So you still get that situation where people can't now But online purchases, in most cases, you need a CCV number.
Yeah, that's true.
As a confirmation. For most cases.
Well, there you go. Be careful is the message.
You need to be very careful online.
Be vigilant.
Don't be so complacent. And I need
Unless you use just eBay.
I need to take that in store as well. But they use PayPal.
PayPal and eBay.
PayPal are fairly good. PayPal are fairly good.
Yeah. Sponsored by PayPal.
We could be sponsored by PayPal. They can give us
use
money
PayPal.
If they like.
Use PayPal. Okay. What else has been going on?
So Google from Stats recently gets more than 2 million takedown requests for pirated content per day.
From who? Just from anyone that's like, this is mine, like copyright infringement notices.
Yeah, that sort of content. And
wow.
You know,
per day, you say?
People contributing illegal content to the internet. Because, you know, Google's systems are trawling the internet 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Automated.
Indexing content online.
Does that include, like, someone uploading a YouTube video with a copyrighted song?
I don't think it'd go that far, but it'd definitely go as far as definite rips of content. So,
yeah,
I honestly don't know whether illegal soundtracks in YouTube videos contribute to it, but that is a big number in itself. Just talking about the search engine as a whole,
It's crazy.
It's crazy, and how do they come to grips with handling the amount of?
I guess.
Requests that come through and, you know, getting them sorted. I mean, it'd take them several days to sort of work on that sort of stuff.
I'm going to say, just like an automated system that as soon as anything's flagged, they just send out an email, and then that's kind of where they leave it, I guess, because then most of the process is automated. I know with the YouTube stuff, if it is copyrighted, or it's like a whole automated process. They scan it and send out an email, and then you say, if it is copyrighted, please change it, or
and
you
if
tick
it's not,
to agree that, yes, I did do it, but I've changed it now, or no, I did not do this sort of thing, and three strikes and you're out. So, I don't know. How much is actually kind of dealt by people would probably be like a very little amount of that number and kind of the big deals. I don't think there's any real effort into chasing just down the individual, right? Like, I mean, you'd be more after the big companies that would
you could sue and get a heap of money from
using your copyrighted material. But yeah, that's a crazy number. What was it in? 2 million a day?
2 million a day.
What are you saying? 2 point something million a day.
2 million takedown requests a day. It is
keyword there, requests.
Completely ridiculous. Though,
They're just, like a request. That doesn't actually mean they've been taken down. They've just flagged it. But that's insane. You think about the computing power from Google to be able to do that as well.
Oh, they've got massive computing company.
I assume other companies also would have similar sort of facilities.
They would have computing facilities.
I wonder if Facebook has
not as big as Google,
though. Detection thing.
Yes.
Do they have anything like that? Like if you would upload copyrighted material to Facebook, do they have like an auto-scanning flagging system?
No, I think there's still a manual process, actually.
People have to report it and then...
Yeah. And then they verify whether it is valid or not.
I assume they'd be looking into an automated process in the future, seeing they're trying to get more into sort of the video scene and to try and be like...
They're trying to get into the everything scene.
Yeah, exactly right. Oh, goodness.
And speaking of Facebook,
yes,
is Mark Zuckerberg.
What has he done now?
He's teamed up with Bill Gates.
He's rich, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's given away his wealth in shares, apparently.
Yeah, I've heard about this, actually, and... we saying Bill Gates as well?
Yeah, Bill Gates, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, Virgin's Richard Branson.
They're all getting together. Going on here.
Yeah, they're all teaming together for the Breakthrough Energy Coalition.
Yeah.
Now, this is guys investing money, these people who have got money, investing it in to affordable and reliable energy technologies. So we're talking things like solar and wind power and other sort of battery technologies to make it more affordable for anyone and to be able to use it anywhere, which I think is a fantastic thing because, you know, we've got solar technologies right now, but, you know, to invest in it, you know, you've got to put a bit of money up front and not all of us have got that coin.
Yeah, leave it to those guys to do the job, though, that have the coin. Bill Gates has always been kind of the guy that's always donated a lot to charities and started up a lot of organizations. So that's no surprise to me that he does that. But, like, is this the first that I'm really hearing about Zuckerberg doing a big donation publicly, involved in something? I'm sure he's been here and there, but, like, nothing of this scale, I don't think.
He has done donations in the past. Like, he is a charitable person.
And then
person,
I think I saw something about... I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's was it his wife or something that's going to donate some ridiculous amount of money, or they've pledged to donate a ridiculous amount of money, of their fortune to charity?
Amount of their shares or something they have. So.
Some huge amount. But, I mean, what are you going to do with it? Like, when you have enough money to do anything you want, you might as well give it away and look
good.
Well,
they were saying even though he was pledging, I think, 95% of his wealth, he's still going to have millions or even billions of dollars.
Yeah.
He'd still
afford a Big Mac. If he wanted to.
More than a Big Mac even.
Upsized. Upsized. Wow.
A triple Mac.
He must be rich.
Oh, I must have one of them on the way home.
Good on him, though. Said it. We should donate to charity.
I do occasionally.
How much money you got?
I do occasionally donate to charity, but I don't have lots of money.
How many millions do you have in your account?
What do you mean, zillions?
Millions?
I've got zillions.
You've got a few mil.
I've got about $500.
$500. Nice. Donate to charity. Tax deductible.
Yes. It'd be much worth it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's always a good cause. Find something that you know...
Mm. Now, our podcast is online, and people are listening to it online.
Even right now.
We're producing online content. There's a lot of consumers in the world now. 3.2 billion people are on the internet, according to a new survey.
I feel like I've been affected by consumerism.
You have?
More than late.
Yes, I think you have.
it's grown on me so much.
Let's go into a personal story. There's this website called Ozbargain.
Oh, yes.
And we've been...
Wait, we don't need to tell more people about it because that just means more competition.
We've been on Ozbargain in recent days like leeches.
Love it.
Those of us in Australia would know that Dick Smith Electronics have come public and mentioned that, there's been some financial concerns again recently based on the amount of stores that they've got open. And so they've essentially been this week doing a bit of a fire sale.
Yes. And getting rid of good deals.
Getting rid of some existing stock. And the Ausbargen community gets to the point where there are people who work in the store who work for Ausbargen, not work for Ausbargen, they work for DSE, and they've essentially been uploading the staff listings.
God bless them.
So that people can go and find bargains.
God bless them.
Most of these
bargains.
Doing
God's work, those.
Most of these bargains are, you know, things that haven't sold from previous year's stock. So,
couple of years.
Some of them are really good and some of them are really crap. But it's been luring people in. And we have actually been into the store on one.
Multiple times.
Two.
Multiple days. 3 days straight, I think.
Three times?
We're checking out
three
stuff.
Times this week, checking out gadgets. I tell you, I did get something good out of the whole deal.
Did you?
GoPro accessories.
Yes, they had a nice sale on GoPro accessories.
They were not genuine ones. They were the Kaiser Bass ones.
Yes.
But $1 each.
Amazing.
How can you get past $1 items?
They're retailing for about $25, $35.
Selfie pole
normally.
For 10 bucks.
Yeah, and that was retailing $50. Amazing.
Perfect.
Bargains. So if you're not on Ausbargen, you should definitely
get
check it out.
Ausbargen.
Get on it. And one of the deals that I saw, they had a 4K 55-inch TV, normally about $800.
Yes.
And it was on sale for about $200.
And we got in a bit late for
that
one.
Yeah, I missed it by about 15 minutes, and my day was ruined. I was so devastated and heartbroken. Whole day, I was the worst. You did not want to be around me at all.
He was that devastated that he walked around the TVs that had been packed up for the case of
circling it like a vulture.
Sold. He was circling them. He was looking at the receipt, seeing how much they paid. He was talking
to know
about
exactly
them.
When they came in to buy them. To see.
It was like, man, grow up.
And we've determined that if we didn't get a coffee in the morning, we would have had a 4K TV in my
backpack.
No,
you've determined that.
I've determined that. So they're just the point of the story is, I've never thought I would be one to mope over a TV. I haven't watched TV in like 3-4 years. I'm like pretty much online content.
But
Netflix,
you use
sort of
a TV for things.
Yeah, I'd use it for like to watch Netflix, TV shows, movies, and things like that. But like actually to watch like free to air TV, I haven't. But so I've never found like a real need for a television because I've always associated it with free to air sort of stuff. And I just use my computer monitor to do that stuff. I have a nice 27 inch. But I mean, goodness, nothing would beat a 55 inch laying back.
He's
on
talking
the bed.
About his TV.
I
by
just
the way.
I can't get yes. Yes. But basically, I was affected by consumerism, sadly, and it's a growing trend.
You don't think I was affected either? The fact that we were communicating together about what possible deals were happening. Shall we go and have a look? And we're going down and I'm walking around the store and it's like, I don't need to buy anything, but I've just
bought... But it's such a good deal.
But I've just bought 4 8-gig thumb drives.
For no reason.
Because they were $2 each.
We should donate them to the homeless.
I'm not going to use them right now, but I bought them.
Let's donate those thumb drives to the homeless.
I didn't require a water bottle, but I bought a water bottle at $10 because I thought
charity?
I'd give it a go.
What do you think of my charity idea? We could start an organization. USBs to the homeless.
USBs.
What do you reckon?
How can the homeless use those USBs? Anyway, let's get back onto the topic online because online was where we were.
Yes.
3.2 billion people online in a recent survey. They did a top 15 list of countries. And guess who is in number 13? Australia.
Venezuela.
Australia. And above Germany and the United States, which is quite a surprise.
Who's number one? Is it the US? Come on.
Korea.
Really?
Not North Korea. Korea.
Yeah.
Because they're a country who is, you know, quick innovators.
Give us the top five.
They roll technology.
Or do you want to do like the top 10? Is that too many? Is 10 too many?
No. Top five.
Okay, top five.
Sweden.
Wait, is it we going 5-1?
Yeah.
But you've already spoiled it now.
At number 4, the United Kingdom. Number 3, Iceland. Number 2, Denmark. And then Korea in the number 1 spot.
Yeah, now, wow. And we're 13.
Yeah. And now they figure this out.
Wait, what's America?
America is in 15th place.
Wow,
they are at the bottom.
We're closer.
They're at the bottom. Now, this is all to do with adaption of technologies. So how quick you can roll 2G, 3G, 4G technologies, wireless, fiber, and how fast these internet connections work across the scope of the country. And unfortunately, where we lag is the fact we are a large country and it's taking us ages to roll some sort of faster speeds out. But we are doing it better than the United States. The United States may have the technology, but there's areas that are lagging in terms of keeping capacity to be able to provide the service to people in certain areas as well. So, you know, that was an interesting study. Hopefully we can start going up the list a little bit more. One of the other things that I got out of the study was the fact that mobile cellular subscriptions have overtaken those of fixed phones.
That does not surprise me at all.
More of us are ditching the home phone. More of us are ditching our ADSL internet. And we're going across to 3G and 4G technologies to cope. I can be a testament to this in the area where I live. I live an hour from a major regional centre, so I'm in the country a bit. And what happened essentially with the farmers about 3 or 4 years ago, maybe even a bit longer, because you know it's 2015 and I've been working at a company. And not fixing computers for the last 8 years. Mm. But when I was doing a lot of IT, they were giving up the one-way satellite because the one-way satellite used to use ISDN as a way to send the data to the internet and then people used to download via the satellite dish.
Old school, yeah.
And so they said, well, Telstra said, we're not doing ISDN anymore. You're going to have to change to two-way satellite or you'll have to change to mobile broadband.
Sounds expensive.
So these customers jumped across to mobile broadband. So there was more adapters of that. And they might have had a fixed line telephone, but they weren't using it for fixed line internet because you were too far away from an ADSL connection. So I can understand the way that people have changed. But the only downside is with mobile services like 3G and 4G, a lot of the time the mobile phone providers don't keep up with the demand. And so they have capacity issues. So your internet speeds are absolutely crap on one tower and bloody amazing on the other.
Walk down to the next block and pew.
And it goes like guns. Like a good example of that is the telephone provider Optus here in Australia. In the CBD district, we get an all right speed, but I think it's under about 30 megabits. You go probably 5 kilometres, so a couple of minutes. You head across in another direction. You get onto another tower. And you got amazing speeds both ways. I was looking at a speed test on Facebook on a mate's profile today and going, this is unheard of in the CBD. Why are you getting that? And he said it was only like 5 minutes away.
Five.
Ridiculous.
Minutes. Well, yeah, it's hard to say if it's the future over like an ADSL connection, and especially once we get sort of like the fiber connections going. But
fiber connections is where it's at.
If you look at it on the scale of everyone owns a mobile phone that now has an ever-growing sort of data limit. I know I was looking at phone plans for not a few months ago, and the best plan I saw was about like 5 gig a month, and now Optus have come out with like a 10 gig a month for essentially the same
amount
of money.
That's pretty
extreme. So, yeah, it's crazy to think of not maybe 3 years ago, we were looking at 1 gig, 1.5 gig limits.
2.5.
Depends who you're with, 1 to 2 gig anyway, let's say. But now we're looking at, say, 5 to 10 gig is kind of sort of rolling out as the norm as sort of everyone catches up and keeps competing. So the mobile sort of broadband space is going to continually grow and the speeds are ridiculous and the infrastructure is just going to get better and better and the limits are going to expand and expand. And, yeah, I guess that's because, you know, you're on your phone more than anything throughout the day than at home, unless you're downloading a million and one things when you get home. You probably would use more data on your mobile phone. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Have you heard about Li-Fi?
Li-Fi? Yes, I have heard about Li-Fi.
So it's 100 times faster than Wi-Fi. They're working on it now, and essentially it is using light to transmit data.
Now, is that just light, or is this like infrared light?
It has to be light. So basically, but I guess the idea is wherever there's a light source to implement these sort of like these chips that can transmit the data. And basically it sends within the light, you know, series of zeros and ones, and that's how it gets sent to any device picking up the receiver. Now, of course, you need to be exposed to the light to get it. And I was watching a TED talk on it, and the guy was doing a demonstration, and he had like a lamp or underneath sending it up to his phone, and you could see he was live streaming a video to the projector, and then he put his hand over the light and covered it up.
And it completely
stopped the video. So you do need to be visible light hitting your device in order to get it. But if you can achieve that, 100 times faster than Wi-Fi.
But the problem
is, I guess the goal is, you know how we switched over to kind of LED light bulbs now from the old incandescent. And I guess now I think the next step would be to now start producing lights with this technology built in them. And then could you imagine in 10 years, every light in every office building having this technology and then you having these ridiculous feeds? Even if you're building a new building, if you're like a tech company, why outfit your lights with, I mean, old ones? Get the new Li-Fi lights. And at least you could have 100 times faster speeds in your building at work. We're not saying, you know, throughout the whole world, but in isolated situations like that, it could be really awesome.
It could be a good emissions reducer, I should say.
Give like people that haven't switched over to like, you know, the LED sort of stuff, could give them a reason to, because not only do you're saving electricity, you're getting longer lasting lights, but you're also getting Li-Fi and epic speeds, 4K streaming,
no radiation.
Oh, who knows? That early days.
More discussion needs to be had.
Like, we still don't even know like the negative effects of being constantly surrounded by Wi-Fi
for your whole life
because no one's experienced it yet. We're going to be the guinea pigs that when we're like 70 or 80, what goes wrong with us is going to be the warning.
We'll have pieces of our body drop off.
We have nothing to go from because we're kind of flying by the seat of our pants as the new technology sort of comes out. And like, you know, like a whole, you're in an Apple Watch that's constantly emitting
Bluetooth.
It's still low frequency radiation that's emitting from your wrist. So who knows in 30 years if that isn't going to cause some sort of issues with your wrist getting, carpal tunnel or RSI or something
cancer.
Like that. Or some sort of cancer development.
Get a tumor in there.
Who used to say, like, smartwatches have only been around for 5 years. We don't know. We're the guinea pigs. So, I mean, turn your Bluetooth off. I mean, do the benefits outweigh the possible negatives?
And then watch is completely useless.
We still don't even know. There still isn't anything conclusive about mobile phones causing like cancer or tumors.
Well,
they've been around for a long time.
It's completely inconclusive as well.
I mean, moral of the story is we just don't know what any of these effects will have on us. And Wi-Fi is a cool new technology.
Li-Fi.
That we should keep an eye out on.
Li-Fi. Watch it.
L-I-F-I.
Watch this space, Bo Dizzle.
We should get our hands on some Li-Fi and do some speed tests ourselves.
Well, only if he's actually allowing review units or something, because I doubt they've got to that point so far.
The guys that are developing it are avid listeners.
Really?
Why the epic long silence after I say that?
Have a little faith. There's a lot of trolling that goes online these days. Negative comments.
It's from the existence of the internet, there's been trolling.
Yeah, but
never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
Trolling didn't happen back in the 90s.
Never going to run
as much as it was. Really, really.
Never going to make you cry.
Never gonna say goodbye. Never gonna tell a lie and hurt you.
Oh no, he's pulled it up in the time. That was pretty good. Very efficient.
So there's a little bit of trolling that goes online these days. And an organisation, and this is cool, Virtual Racism Real Consequences is the organisation, raising awareness about racism and promoting equality.
Wait, we're just going to a serious topic now.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Nice.
Over in Brazil.
Wait. Everyone just calm down for a sec. We're going to talk about something kind of
Take a breath.
All right, we're ready now.
So over in Brazil, you know, a lot of this trolling is going on. Well, it goes on around the world. But what they've decided to do is name and shame the people in the form of a billboard. Their display
picture. So they're fighting trolling with trolling.
Yes. Sort of. Their display picture and their handle is not visible, but the trolling is visible.
So you can see what they've done.
And the people are around the communities where they're putting these billboards. So they're being able to target.
Doesn't that inadvertently make you famous, though? You're like, oh, dude, that's my comment. Because you can't, like, there's no shame if you don't know who they are.
Yes,
right?
You can do that. But then, on the other hand, people can see that and go,
"Geez,
wow.
Idiot. This guy's an idiot.
This sort of stuff is going on online. We've got to, you know, we've really got to try and do something about
this. This guy's horrible." And then you're like, "Hey, God, I saw, did you see that post on the freeway? This guy's an absolute dick. Can you believe that?" And it turned out it was his friend. And he's like, "Oh, maybe I shouldn't do that." Is that what they're trying to achieve?
The reception is great so far.
I'm loving it.
And they're intending to show that the web is not a free territory for the display of these sort of messages.
But aren't they just increasing the display of these messages?
And they're increasing the display of the message in any form, but they're proving that this sort of stuff does go online. It's not fair to anybody, so we should think about not doing it in the future.
Be nice. No, that's not
the moral of the story.
Anonymity is the gateway to being.
But it's not anonymity because, I mean, you know, people are posting this stuff on Facebook.
You can't see the name of the photo.
People are posting this stuff on Facebook and Twitter. Yeah, anyone with an opinion is jumping online and they're commenting and they're not worrying about whether they've got a display name.
Trolls see it as a competition to try and get on these billboards and try and out-bad each other.
Well, that's the other thing that could happen.
See, that's the way I think of it. Why was I not consulted on this campaign? Because I'd be like, we're just fueling the problem.
Are you from Brazil, sir?
No.
That's why.
I like soccer, and they have a good soccer team. That's as far as my connection to Brazil goes.
That's Ronaldo! As far as your connection will go.
That was happening. That ends our karaoke segment of Tech Rap Podcast.
Yes. I think it's time for some quick headlines.
Yes. Play the intro.
What intro?
Oh, yeah.
We still haven't got to that one.
We're working on it. We'll get to it next week without fail. We'll have an intro and it'll sound a little something like this. These are the technology headlines of the week. These are the tech headlines. Play some music. These are the tech headlines of the week. Geddes, give me some quick
headlines.
No, what? No, you screwed it up. Geddes, give me some quick
headlines.
That's not music, that's irony. All right, let's fire some off. There's been some rumour and speculations about the Samsung Galaxy S7. Can you believe it or not?
S7? Oh, I have got one on the line of that.
Okay, well, I'll go first. So the Galaxy S7, the rumour mills have already started, and the general gist of it, we've talked about in the past about, like, you know, how much more can they do? How can they go leaps and bounds beyond what they've done previously?
And
the answer is they can't. And I think they're kind of conceding this point as well, where they've got a couple of quotes from sort of the high-level people up at Samsung. And the gist of it is we're going to slightly improve the performance and we're going to continue to innovate, but there won't be like anything crazy, any crazy differences from the S6. So they're just going to be like a slightly fast. They might bring back micro SD cards. Expandable memory. I think the battery will probably still stay sealed.
Why would they if they've got consumers on the current RAM?
But generally, the message was there's going to be sort of little overhaul from the previous model. It's just going to be a bit faster and maybe some tweaks to the software, maybe a new vert. Maybe they'll have Lollipop on them. Probably will have Lollipop and a better processor.
Yep.
Better Snapdragon or their own processor or something like that. But yeah, in terms of, like, it's not going to be revolutionary. The design might be very similar because they've already gone the premium sort of metal design. I used to be a big fan of Samsung, but
yep.
I mean, I own it. It's not really their fault.
Mm-hmm.
But because, you know, how much, once you've kind of broken through, it takes like something really ridiculous to break through again, like to be revolutionary.
Yeah, definitely.
So basically my quick head is S7, probably going to be not that much different from the S6. A little bit faster, save yourself the money, wait for the S8 in 2016.
All aboard the rumor mill. Right. Toot, toot.
What do you got?
iPhone.
Ah, yes, of course. We've got to counterbalance the Android.
They're already speculating about the next iPhone model, even though the
less than 6 months.
Even though the last one went on sale at the end of September.
That's crazy.
So the next speculation is the fact that people say that they will remove the 3.5mm stereo plug, the tip ring sleeve, the TRRS connector from the phone, and people will need to get a lightning-based connector to be able to put traditional headphones in.
That's almost believable because it's Apple.
Yeah, but I don't believe it.
No, the public backlash from hearing this is going to be ridiculous and they're not going to be able to follow through.
I definitely don't believe this.
It's probably like an early talk. They thought about it. Like, maybe let's do this, and then that got leaked, but it was always a conceptual thing. I don't believe that could ever happen.
Given the amount of rumours that pop up in advance of the next phone, I never believe half the rumours because half of them have never, ever come true.
It's not even worth getting worked up about.
Hang on. Three quarters of the rumours have never came true. So, right throughout the range of iPhones. And it would be the same with Samsung
time
as well.
Time to jump ship to Android.
It'd be the same with Samsung and Android users as well. There would be manufacturers that have the problems of people speculating that these things are going to happen. And I don't think it's going to happen because so many people have grown with the iPhones. And the fact that they've been able to plug various headphones, various microphones, whatnot into it. And I know, Apple did change their connector type, but they're not going to do it for audio devices, given there's so many different, consumer devices around.
It's a ridiculous thing. They would isolate so many of
like these things we're wearing now, which we can plug into an iPhone. It's completely absurd.
Well, there you go. Those were the quick headlines of the week. Those were the technology headlines of the week. Geddes, give me some quick
headlines.
Now, what he's doing is stop messing up the intro.
I did.
That was the worst quick head we've ever had. So don't not listen to us anymore because next week we'll do better.
I was crap today.
And that's the announcement.
That's the announcement.
Don't hold it against us. What episode is episode 16 done and dusted?
16, yeah. Wrapped up.
Wow, time flies.
Yeah, it does.
Have the theme song for you next week, and so definitely.
What are you talking about?
The quick head theme song.
Oh, the quick head.
We'll have that next. So keep an eye. If the only thing you tune in for next week is the quick head intro.
Next week, next episode.
Next episode.
Yeah.
If that's the only thing that you tune in, forget our rubbish. Just listen out because it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, because we just talk crap for the whole hour.
It's going to be amazing. So just skip to the quick headlines. It's normally towards the end. So just skip the first three quarters until you find the quick head intro and then you can be done with this.
Look, tell us what you think. Jump online to techwrap.net. We're also on the social media on Twitter, TechWrap Podcast. And you can find us by listening to us on a whole raft of things. So if you decide going to our website and clicking play isn't the best way, you can find us on the Omni application. You can find us on player.fm. And we're also on iTunes for those of us who love Apple technology. Until next episode, Will, always a pleasure.
Trent.
We'll catch you next time.
See you then.